Beautiful. I'm a prayer, Brother Sam. Everybody can hear me? All right. You want to say again? I do. Do appreciate that humble prayer. In times like these, where would we be? You know, Peter, where else can we go? And we're in the right place. There's no other place to go but the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm always amazed, you know, we've spoken a lot about, you know, this life isn't perfect, and we're going to have sorrow, we're going to have trouble, but there's always some joy. There's always a rainbow in those storm clouds. Certainly in this time, it's concerning. It's scary. It's frustrating. I know a lot of God's children are frustrated. We're ready to get back to church, ready to get back to our lives and do a lot of things. But, you know, as a chef, when somebody gives us lemons, you know, we try to make lemonades. And I always try to look on the bright side and some of the good things that have come about through these things. One thing that has come from my experience is I've had to slow down. I'm still working, but every afternoon my kids don't have to go to school. We've been working in the garden, enjoying God's creation. We've been spending more time together as a family with less distraction. One such time this week, me and my son Caleb was watching a movie, and it's amazing how often the more you read God's word, the more little things, insignificant, stupid things will spark something in your mind from God's word. And me and Caleb were watching a movie called The Incredibles the other day, and they were doing an interview, and if you older folks, I'm not saying older folks hadn't watched The Incredibles, but I got young kids, so if y'all never seen The Incredibles, I'm going to give a little backstory there. You know, Incredibles is a family of superheroes, and Mr. Incredible is dad, and a reporter was interviewing Mr. Incredible, and in some part of the movie, he said, he asked him a question, and Mr. Incredible says, you know, sometimes when I save the world, I just wish it would stay safe, you know, just for once. You know, ain't that the truth? You know, it seems like in this life, the world just never stays safe. There's always something. There's there's COVID-19, there was polio back in the day, wars, so many different things. And, Mr. Incredible, you know, he wished his work of salvation would have stuck. But that's not the way man is. Our work don't stick. But for a little while tonight, I want to talk to you about one that did. One that did. I want you to know his work of salvation stuck. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn and start with Hebrews. And we'll start in chapter 9 of Hebrews, and we're going to start with verse 25. A little backstory in Hebrews, you'll find in chapter 9 of Hebrews, the brother here is comparing the differences between the old law worship and the new law worship, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The old law works of righteousness and the grace we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of differences between two. There's some similarities. We know that from what Brother James preached on last Sunday, that a lot of these things from the Old Testament are shadows. They're shadows of better things to come in the New Testament. And that Old Testament applies and points us to Jesus and points us to the New Testament. In verse 24, it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true." That old law worship, that old tabernacle, those old laws, they were figures of the true. They were pointing to something better. "But into heaven itself now appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others." There's a difference right there. Lord Jesus Christ is our priest. He doesn't have to enter into that old holiest of holies every year. He doesn't have to do it continually. In verse 26, it's, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once. Now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, that's the bittersweet thing about having our sins redeemed. In the verses before this, it says there is no remission of sins without shedding blood. You understand, it took the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us from our sins. And while I'm grateful and thankful, Lord, that we've been redeemed through his blood, you know, I can't help but mourn a little bit. You know, I'm sorry. I hate my Lord and Savior had to go through that poor working sinner like me. But oh, I'm grateful he did. Oh, I stand in great thanksgiving today because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But it says he did it once. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. He doesn't have to offer. He doesn't offer it continually. It says, for them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. So there's a difference. The priest from that old law worship had to offer in often. They offer into it over and over and over again. But the New Testament, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ ain't like that. He don't have to offer himself over and over again to save us from our sins. He only had to do it once. Why does it say that? For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Well, if it was still like that old law worship and this New Testament was just like that old law worship, since man has been sinning since the beginning of the time, Jesus was going to redeem us from our sins, and it was like that old worship, then he would have had to suffer since the beginning of time. But that's not the case in the New Testament. Lord Jesus Christ did it once and for all. That work of salvation he did stuck. It says, for them must we often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So you understand that this salvation that we have, this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it covered all. You know, Romans 9 says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Time, height, depth, nothing. So that's how his love can cover it all. He didn't have to suffer since the beginning of time. He did it once for all. His blood covered every blood-bought child of God from the beginning of time. Oh, Father Abraham, just like us, the same blood that saved Abraham is what saves me and you. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It covered it all. That was prophesied of. If you will, turn with me to Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, we'll see. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Indeed, he is our God in truth and righteousness. But what does it say here? It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Well, Brother Joe, what does that have to do with saving people from the beginning of time to the end of the time? You know, Malachi says that a little different. From the east country and the west country. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 11, it says, for from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Think about what happens in the east and the west. The sun rises in the east. It sets in the west. In verse 7 of Zechariah, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, from the setting of the sun to the setting of the sun, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. We know over in Psalms it says that he's put our sins as far from the east to the west. And we've heard a lot of preachers preach on that and mention that. You know, I knew a smart guy one time, or smart aleck guy one time, told me, he's like, you know, if you go far enough east, you'll start going west. Don't let them old smart alecks get you on this one. When he's talking about from the east to the west, you think about it this way. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and those points never touch. And that's how far the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you from your sins. We see this reference of east and west. It talks about distance. That's how far our sins are apart. But you think also about, in this verse, it's a shadow of better things to come. It's talking about the Lord's people and him bringing the children of Israel out of captivity again. But also it's a show of better things to come. Now, in reference to the children of Israel, when he's talking about from the east country and the west country, you think about that again, from the setting of the sun or the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Wherever the child of Israel is, he's going to bring them back to him. So we have geography here, the location. Of this is the east and the west. When we're talking about the rising and setting of the sun, it's time. In the morning, the sun rises in the east. That's the beginning of the day. In the afternoon, it sets. That's the end of the day. It's the beginning of the time. It's the end of the time. I want you to know this is prophesied the Lord Jesus Christ through his blood has redeemed and gathered together in one from the beginning of time to the end of the time, from the setting of the sun to the rising of the sun, from the east to the west. He's gathered all his children together without the loss of one, without the loss. And that work only took one time, only once. Let's go on. Now back in Hebrews 9. In verse 26, let's start in verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. Once offered. It only took once. The work of salvation, one time. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ does something, he does it right, he don't have to do it again. It takes once. Work of salvation, Lord Jesus Christ, with sticks. And it's stuck. And we're stuck, thank God. And then even more so, it says, those that look for him shall he appear the second time. This old life ain't all there is. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back without sin. Why without sin? Because he's took care of that. And this time when he comes back, he's come to take all those children from the east to the west, from the setting of the sun to the rising to the sun, setting of the sun, however you want to say it, he's coming back and taking them all without the loss of one. Thank God for the completed work in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God it only took once. Thank God he ain't like me and you. You know, in chapter 10, of Hebrews, it kind of just puts it all back in perspective and summarize it. In Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 8, it says above when he says, sacrificing offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. That old law worship the Lord didn't have no pleasure in, but I tell you who's got pleasure in. He's got pleasure in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. Don't you ever forget that. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. That old law worship is done. He took that away and has established the grace that we stand in today, by the which we are all sanctified. We were made holy. Through what? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. All those that he loved, all the elect, all those that he called. Once for all. And I want you to know something. That offering, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering, I want you to know that offer wasn't made to me and you. If you look back in chapter 9, and I believe verse 14, we find out, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to who? To God. Without spot to God, who has purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
I want you to know if you feel the need to be here tonight to serve the living God, you have been purged. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. By the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest, those old priests, the Old Testament priests, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. That old blood, the blood of those old bulls and goats wasn't ever going to do the job. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, one precious sacrifice for sins forever, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, from the beginning of time to the end of time, from the east to the west, forever. And y'all, this is one of my favorite verses. You know, one of my most joyful things I enjoy seeing growing up. You know, I knew my daddy worked hard. I knew my mama worked hard. But when my mom and daddy could come in from working, hard day of work, and they could sit down, I like to see them get to sit down. You know, I watched my aunts and uncles work hard all their life. One of my favorite things to do is go have coffee with them and get to sit down with them. See, when you get to sit down from working, you know what that signifies to me? When you sit down, that means you're satisfied. That means you're satisfied with the job you did. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. Didn't our Lord Jesus Christ deserve to sit down? I tell you what, he sat down because he was satisfied with the work and the job he did. And me and you ought to be too. Every child of God ought to be satisfied, content with the job the Lord Jesus Christ did in redeeming us from our sins. We don't need to add anything to it. He loved you. He died for you. One day heaven's going to be your home. You know, that was prophesied too. Him sitting down and being satisfied. If you will with me, we're going to turn to Isaiah. Chapter 53. And verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Isn't that a hard thing to say? You know what pleased him? Because it was the only way to bring those that he loved back into reconciliation. Back into righteousness. So that we could be there where he is one day. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise it. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. The Lord sat down because he was satisfied with the work he did. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, he bore everything. He did everything for us. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he is numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, you want to talk about Mr. Incredible? Mr. Marvelous, our Lord Jesus Christ. He did the work of salvation. When he went to save us, he saved us. His work of salvation It's stuck. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saves something, you know what? It stays saved. I thank you for your good honor attention tonight, Brother James. I just thank God for y'all. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your encouragement. All the elders here tonight, I appreciate the work you've done. I pray y'all get to sit down a little bit, but not for too long. We're not Jesus, but we love y'all. And let's just keep praying the Lord be with us and bring us back together again. Thank you.